Okay, good morning. Today we're going to finish up. Today will be the last shiur. Today will be the last shiur before Yom Tov. Next Tuesday already, the kids are off from school. Everyone's very busy, including myself. So next Tuesday there will be no shiur Mitzvah Shem. As far as after Yom Tov, I guess we're going to have to discuss. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, I think we're going to continue after Yom Tov. The question is, should we start the Tuesday immediately following Yom Tov, the 17th, or should we wait till a week and a half afterwards, the 24th? Maybe we'll see further as far as that. So what we were able to do 2 weeks ago was, 2 weeks ago we discussed the basics as far as Hilchos Yom Tov, what is required to permit something to be done on Yom Tov. We said that it has to be a melacha that can't be done. If it would have been done yesterday, it would not have been as good if it would have been done yesterday. And also it has to be on a small scale. It can't be done for many days. So that's what we discussed 2 weeks ago. We also mentioned that there's a concept of mitoch, that if you have a malacha that is an ochel nefesh malacha, it will be permitted not only for ochel nefesh, but for other purposes as well. Last week we discussed the practical applications of a number of malachas. We discussed beirer, we discussed tochen, we discussed schita by ochlin, we discussed a little bit of hotzah, of losh, memereach, and memachik. So we're going to do today, Bez Hashem, is we're going to start off with bishul and do some other malachos as much as we can. So as far as cooking should not be confused with mavir, making a fire. When we discuss cooking, we're talking about the food or the liquid itself, meaning even if there is a fire from before Yom Tov, but we need to discuss as far as cooking something, bishul itself is one of the lamatas malachos. Is that allowed on Yom Tov or not? And of course you all know that since bishul is the ultimate ochel nefesh, we said ochel nefesh malachos are permitted. So bishul, cooking, baking, and frying is allowed on Yom Tov. Many times, the food tastes better if it is cooked or baked today. It doesn't taste as good when it's not fresh when it was cooked yesterday. And therefore, we say that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to fry, even if you could have done it yesterday, but no, but if you would have done it yesterday, it wouldn't have tasted as good. So therefore we say you're totally allowed to go ahead and cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to even use tea bags, I think we mentioned last time, as far as borer. There's no problem with bishul because it would not have been as good if it would have been done yesterday. Rabbi Yashiv says you could use tea bags. There are those that say it's better, you know, as far as borer, we discussed last week to use with a spoon, but as far as bishul, it's not an issue because it wouldn't have been as good if it would have been done yesterday. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that even water, let's say you want to cook up a pot of water. So even though it may technically, as far as the taste, if the water would have been cooked up yesterday, it would have been just as good. But still, you're not obligated to cook up a pot of water yesterday. You're allowed to cook it up today 100% because you would have had to keep the fire on for longer and it costs extra money like that and it would evaporate. A lot of the water would evaporate. So therefore, you're allowed to cook up a pot of water even though technically, as far as the taste, it would have been just as good. You're allowed to cook it up. Also, we mentioned similar other halachas that we mentioned that also, let's say you weren't able to cook yesterday for some other reason. If you were very busy, or if let's say you didn't know exactly how you want to cook something, you're not sure what type of foods your guests are going to eat, you weren't sure what type of recipe to use, what type of sauce to make, for those reasons also you were not able to do it yesterday, you were only able to cook up today, that is permitted, you're allowed to cook it today. The Pesach can point out something else. Even if you could have cooked yesterday and you could have put it in the freezer or the fridge, so you're not obligated to do that, and there's two reasons for that. First of all, many times if it would be put in a fridge or a freezer, it wouldn't taste as good. There are plenty of people that say that, and there are plenty of foods like that, that even if you cook up yesterday and you put it straight into the freezer, straight into the fridge, still, it would not be as good. There's nothing like having fresh food. That's one thing that the Paiskim say. And second of all, the Paiskim say, Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that even if it could have been taste, it could taste just as good. But the fact is, as far as the food itself, it would not be as good if it would be done yesterday. So I could do an outside Eitzah, an outside thing to make it that I put it in a fridge or freezer and it would taste just as good, I'm not obligated to do that. Meaning, first of all, it may not taste as good. And second of all, even if it would taste as good if I would put it in a fridge or freezer, I'm not obligated to cook yesterday and put it in a fridge or freezer. I'm allowed to cook today since the food, as far as itself is concerned, it would not be as good if it would be done yesterday. So I'm allowed to cook today. And therefore, we say you're allowed to cook today. If it is a food that you know for a fact, like we discussed noodles, and we discussed cooked fruit, and I saw some one sefer say also jello. There are certain things that would be just as good as be done yesterday, even let's say without a fridge or something like that. It will be done just as good. So then it should be done before Yom Tov. If it was not done before Yom Tov, like we said 2 weeks ago and we said 1 week ago, that it could be done with a shinui. And we said by other malachos, anything that could have been done yesterday and was not, you could do it today with a shinui. There's shinui as far as holding the grater upside down by Teichen we mentioned. How do you cook something with a shinui? Cooking is cooking. So the Paiskim say two ideas. One is that if you put in the water or the food and then the rest of the spices, so then you do it the opposite order. First you put in the spices, then you put in the food, or vice versa. That's one idea. You put things in a different order. When we discuss Lush and Mitzvah Shem, when we get to the Halachos of Lush, we'll discuss similar ideas. But you could put things in the pot in a different order. Or in this in Karelet, it says another idea is that you could push the pot on top of the fire with your elbow. Meaning don't pick up the pot and put it straight on the fire. If you're able to push the pot with your elbow on the back of your hand or something like that, then that is also considered cooking with a shinui. So that's only by foods that could have been done just as good yesterday and you didn't do it yesterday. Then it could be done today with the shinui. But again, we said most foods that are not as good if it was done yesterday, even if it could be put in the fridge or the freezer, you're not obligated to do that and you're allowed to cook today.
Question.
Yeah.
Just as good. But what you said before as far as like running out of time because every Yom Tov, every Pesach.
Right. So
we
were discussing that, and I think we said 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, or both, that of course it's a hard getter to know exactly what's considered it's not your fault. You know, I was busy. I think we're discussing with people after this year. Let's say I could have done it 10 o'clock in the morning, Erev Yom Tov. I said, okay, I'll do it at 12 o'clock. And then at 12 o'clock, something came up that was not my fault. So is that included? Or like your example, I was a little bit busy, but you know, maybe I could have made myself crazy to do it. It's something that's hard to know. Definitely any food that could be done before Yom Tov just as well, it is definitely great to try as hard as you can to do it before Yom Tov. If it's honestly an oinus, as something that's out of your control, then we say you're allowed. Then you're allowed even straight out. Okay, so as far as Bishul, let's hold off on washing dishes and bathing. We'll get to that. We'll save that a little bit for later. So that was as far as cooking. That I think we've covered as much as we need to know as far as cooking, baking, and frying on Yom Tov. Now let's discuss Mavir. Mavir is Mem Vez Ayin Yud Resh. Mavir means kindling a fire, making a fire. We're discussing this after the shiur last week with one or two people. Mavir means kindling a fire. Now you are allowed, normally of course on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a fire. And on Shabbos, even if there's already a lit fire, I'm not allowed to transfer that fire to something else. On Shabbos, of course, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, even if the fire is already there from before. I'm not allowed to transfer the fire to another match or to another item, another piece of wood or something like that. You can't raise a fire on Shabbos, of course. On Yom Tov, we say that Mavir is considered a straight up an Oichel Nefesh Malacha, and therefore you're allowed to be Mavir on Yom Tov. You're allowed to raise a flame, you're allowed to transfer a flame. Mavir is permitted on Yom Tov. However, you can't make a new flame on Yom Tov. And that is not a problem of Mavir, because Mavir is Ochel Nefesh. That's a problem of Molad, of Noilad. You're not allowed to create something new on Yom Tov, Shabbos also. You're not allowed to create something new. When you strike a match, you start up a new fire, that is considered Molad. There's a big discussion if that's forbidden Midiraisa or Midirabanan. Either way, it is not allowed to be done. On Yom Tov to create something new, it's like you're creating something. There's lots of discussions as far as why that's not permitted on Yom Tov. Let that be permitted also for Eichel Nefesh. Many discussions, but we're not allowed to make a new fire on Yom Tov. So you can't strike a match on Yom Tov, but if let's say you have already a flame from the licht or from the oven, you're allowed to transfer the flame from one to the other to something else that you need. For this reason that you can't make a new flame is the reason why you can't turn on an electrical appliance on Yom Tov. That's why also you can't turn on the lights on Yom Tov. Why? It's Mavir and Ochel Nefesh and perhaps Mitoch. But no, you're not allowed to make a new flame by an electrical appliance. There's only a current and you're making a new fire when you turn on an electrical appliance. Perhaps there's other malachos as far as Bona, Chazanish, other discussions, but you're not allowed to turn electrical appliance or lights on Yom Tov because that is also considered Molad. What you can do, like we said, is to transfer an existing flame. Sometimes oven will have a pilot light, already have a flame, and you'll be able to transfer it. If, let's say, the gas is already on, you'll make a new flame over here, but you're not striking up a new flame, you're just transferring it over from one place to the other. You're allowed to transfer a match, you go to a neighbor, and you get a fire that they already have, and you could carry it over to your house if necessary. Of course, be careful that the fire doesn't go out, but you're allowed to transfer it over to your house because there was already a lit flame from before. If you could do it directly to where you need, that'll be the best. Meaning, let's say you need, if you could carry a flame and move it over to, let's say you need to start up a flame on the stovetop and you don't have to turn anything on or anything like that, it's already a pilot light or something. So then if you could take the directly from that light and do it directly to where you need, that'll be the best. Sometimes it's not possible to do that, so you could have an intermediary, especially if you're borrowing from a neighbor, so of course you need an intermediary, then if that's what's necessary, then that is allowed. Because of this, a match, the Pesachim say a match is not considered muksa on Yontif. Of course, a match is muksa on Shabbos, but a match is not muksa on Yontif. For some reason, Rambam says it's even considered a kalish malach to leheter. You're allowed to use it because you're allowed to use it on Yontif. You can't make a new fire, but you're allowed to use a match on Yontif. Therefore, he says it's not considered muksa.
What would you do with the match? You can't blow it out.
Right, so you just put it down. You would just put it down. Yeah, you put it somewhere in the sink, or don't put it in the sink because sink is quite possibly the sink is wet, and then that's considered as if like you put it out. So you just place it down on a tray or something, and it goes out. It goes out by itself. Like we said, you can enlarge or prolong an existing flame. You could turn up a fire that's already lit on a gas stove. By lighting candles, when you bench licht, you're allowed, you know, those floating wicks, you're allowed to prepare those floating wicks. When you make that's not considered makubah patish, the Pesachim say, you're allowed to, you know, to set that up. That's as far as lighting.
What about lowering the flame?
Lowering the flame, we're going to get to machabe in a moment. We're going to get to machabe soon. First, we're talking about maver. We'll get there. It's a good question. We discussed as far as mitoich, right? We said 2 weeks ago and last week that anytime you have a malacha that's ochel nefesh and havara mavir is considered a ochel nefesh act, so you're allowed to do it for mitoch, meaning if you have a purpose to do it, even if it's not for food purposes, if it's for other purposes, then if it is a yontif need, if you need it for yontif, then you are allowed to do that as well. So you are allowed to light a fire, not a new fire, but you're allowed to transfer a fire for other reasons besides for cooking and baking. If you need to heat up your home, or for light, or for benching licht, as we mentioned, you're allowed to transfer over a fire because that's mitoch, and it's permitted as long as it's a yontif need, so then it will be allowed. Can't do it for after yontif. Mishnah Berurah brings that there's a minhag to light candles by a bris milah. I usually do not see that. Usually Sfaradim are the ones that do that, but the Mishnah Berurah does bring such a minhag. If someone makes a bris on yontif and they want to transfer a light from somewhere else to have light, to have the candles by the bris, the Mishnah Berurah says that is also allowed. What about a yahrzeit candle? So this is discussed already from the Pesachim a few hundred years ago. The Ksav Sefer, the Kivega, the Prima Godim, they all discuss as far as a yahrzeit candle, is that considered a yontif need? Meaning we said that mitoich, and even oichel nefesh, has to be for a yontif need. It can't be for something that just, you know, because I'm in a good mood and I want to just do a malacha. It has to be for a specific yontif need. It can't be for afterwards, and it can't just be stam. It has to be for a yontif need. So the question is, if a person has yahrzeit on yontif, are they allowed to light a yahrzeit candle on yontif? Of course, not to strike a new match, but to transfer to a yahrzeit licht on yontif or not. So the Bir Halacha says, the Chafetz Chaim says, that the best is to do it before yontif. The best is to do it before yontif. Because it's such a big discussion, is that considered a legitimate yontif need or not? The Bir Halacha comes out that it's best to do it before yontif. A lot of times we like to have a yahrzeit licht anyways in the house, you know, because we have a candle for 24 hours or 48 hours, so we have it. We don't have to borrow from a neighbor. Sometimes it doesn't last. They have those that last 48 hours. The ones that say 24 hours usually end up lighting more than 24 hours. But as far as for the yahrzeit itself, The best is to do before yomtiv. If you can't, or for whatever reason you didn't, then what should a person do? So the place can say that it's best to do it in the shul, where they need light anyways, by the chazan. I don't think that's so nogeya, so practical for many of us. So what's said to be done, that if you weren't able to do it before yontif, or if let's say a person has yahrzeit on the second day yontif, and they only have one that lasts 24 hours, and it's not going to last that long, for whatever reason. So then a person should do it in the dining room. In the dining room where, this way, that's where they're going to eat. And this way, you get some usage out of the candles, this Tosefes R, you get some light out of it. What we basically rely on for licht Friday night, you need to get pledge, you need to get benefit from the licht on Friday night, was in Ayet to the mitzvah. So how do we get benefit from the licht? So we light it in the dining room or on the table where we get benefit from the lights. Now, nowadays that we have electricity, so that's a tremendous discussion. If we have electricity, is that considered as if we're really getting benefit from the candles? It's a big discussion for Friday night in general throughout the year. Anyway, so there are those that say that you should daven, buy the candles, buy them, daven, buy this yartzeit licht that you want, say some tillim, try to get some benefit from the candles, and this way it's automatically considered a tzorech. The Mishnah Brura, somewhere else, not in Hilchas Yontif, in Hilchas Shabbos, Reish Samach Aleph, he says that a yartzeit licht is considered a yontif need, and therefore, perhaps according to that, you wouldn't have to be make yourself crazy as far as, you know, getting benefit from the candles. But again, like I'm saying, it's a big discussion, is a yartzeit candle considered a yontif need or not? The best would be to do it before yontif. If not, you definitely have what to rely on to do it on yontif, but the best would be to try and get some benefit from it on yontif. This way, you cover all grounds that are, you that it was a legitimate yontif need.
Now, what if you don't exactly have yartzeit, but people do it
for yisker? Yeah, yisker, same idea. Yisker would be the same idea. However, probably that Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Shabbos that says that for yartzeit it's considered a legitimate need because everyone does that. So I don't know if he would say that by yisker. I think he's saying that only by yartzeit. But for yisker,
yisker is a pretty
It's considered now. It's considered a strong minig. I'm not sure if that started already from the times of the Mishnah Brura. I have to check up the lashon of the Mishnah Brura. I think he was going specifically by yartzeit. As far as yisker, so we still have all those other options. The best is to do it before yontif. If a person was not able to do it before yontif, so then a person should do it in the dining room where they could get some benefit, and the best would be to try and go ahead and get some benefit from the candle. That's as far as kindling a flame on yontif. Now, as far as what you wanted to know, as far as mechabe. Mechabe is a separate malacha on Shabbos, right? There are 39 malachos on Shabbos. There's one of bishul, there's one of mavir, kindling a flame, and there's one of putting out a flame. Now, there's many details as far as putting out a flame. When is that forbidden? Midairaisa. When is that forbidden? Midirabbanon. Malacha shen tzrich legufa. Discussions that are not important for us right now, but suffice it to say that you're not allowed, whether it's deraisa midirabbanon, you're not allowed to extinguish a flame on Shabbos. Because mechabe is one of the malachos. Now, the question is, on yontif, am I allowed to extinguish a flame on yontif? So, right away, you would think that if you weren't knowledgeable from previous yamim tovim, you would think, well, we'll only let malachos that are permitted for ochel nefesh. Putting out a flame, how would that be considered ochel nefesh? Yeah, that's helping my cooking by putting out a flame. So you would think that putting out a flame, which includes lowering a flame, would not be allowed on yontif, because how does that have any connection to eichel nefesh? However, so generally that's the case, that you would not be allowed to lower a flame on yontif, because what would the heter be? However, there is one specific case where it's possible, where there is considered eichel nefesh by lowering a flame, and that is the following. If I have a flame, and I have my pot of soup, or whatever it is, or a chicken that is on top of the flame, so then I'm afraid that it's going to burn. If I don't lower the flame, I'm afraid my food is going to burn. And let's say I can't just simply take it off because it's not fully cooked yet, but the flame is too high. And if I don't, I can't take it off because it's not fully cooked. So I want it to continue to cook, but my flame is too high, it's going to burn. So what am I allowed to do? So I'm allowed to lower the flame, because that is considered ochel nefesh, because if I don't lower the flame, then my food is going to burn. I'm not going to be able to eat my food for yontif. So that is considered ochel nefesh, to lower a flame where the food is going to burn. There's a huge discussion amongst the Paiskim, which I don't think it's so nogea, but I'll say it because perhaps it could be the nogea. I'm not usually the one in the kitchen. If you have the following case, let's say I have a pot of food cooking on a large flame, and it's too large. If I keep it like this, it's going to burn. But I have a second flame on my stovetop that's a small flame. But I need a medium-sized flame. So there's a major machlekes amongst the Achrayim, amongst the Paiskim. Should I lower this flame, or should I transfer to the other flame and raise that flame? Meaning, we said a few minutes ago that as far as kindling a fire, you're allowed to raise a flame. That's considered mavir, but that's ochel nefesh. So what should I do? Is it better to transfer the pot to that flame and raise that flame? Many paiskim say that Shama Zalman Orbach, the Mechas Yitzchok, Aznibru, Ber Moshe, Chalkis Yakram, Nissen Karelis, many of those that say that you should transfer it. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yashav say you do not. They say it's better to keep it on this flame and to lower this flame. Which one should you do? Obviously, you know, I'm not going to be the one to decide between them. You have what I guess you would have what to rely on, and either one. If it makes you feel good to go with Rav Moshe Feinstein, so then you could just lower, this flame. Okay. Well, okay. Could be you have other reasons why you would prefer to lower it. Maybe as far as money. But
if you accidentally turn it off, is that?
So if you accidentally turn it off, you can't turn it back on.
I know, but. But
then you do tshuva. I'm saying, you know,
No, because you said that for cooking, meaning for Olchol Nefesh, you could turn it.
You could lower it. You could lower it, but you can't turn it off totally. You can't turn it off totally.
You can't turn it off. You said it's the same thing as lowering it.
Right, because it's a good question. Saying like, if
no, it happens.
What? Even on a low flame?
Like if you want, sometimes if you put it on the lowest.
Then it goes out by itself. Okay, yeah. Right. So,
But in that case, you could probably just put a match.
If the knob is still turned. Right. That's true.
A big trick, everybody, is unplug your stovetop for shots.
Right.
Preemptive.
One thing that the Pais can speak out. That's very important. That which we're saying, hold on one second, sorry, that which we're saying that you're allowed to lower the flame because for Ochel Nefesh we're afraid it's going to burn, this is only the case if that's honestly true. If the food needs to remain on the flame and then it's going to burn, so you're allowed to lower it. But if, let's say, the meal is starting in a few minutes, my food is cooked, I'm just warming it up, and I'm able to just simply take the pot off the flame, and that'll be totally fine. I'm not allowed to go turn it down. I'm only allowed to turn it down if it's a legitimate ochel nefesh need. The Paiskim say that if you could just simply not lower the flame, but just simply take the pot off the flame, then that is what should be done. If it's only allowed to lower the flame, to do mechabe, if it's for an ochel nefesh need. If you could just, with the same results, just simply take it off the flame and it'll be just as warm, or maybe a teeny bit not as warm for the meal, so then, you know, you should not just go ahead and lower the flame. Hold on a second, are you waiting?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is Shabbos or Yom Tov or both related, but with an electric start stove, so I've had it where like something knocks into the knob and you hear that click 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 click,
right.
Click. It's like just that electric start. Yeah. So what do you do there?
So you're allowed to turn that off?
Yeah, because at that point probably gas is coming out, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Right, if gas is coming, so you're saying it's already on, so maybe you could, you're allowed to turn it off.
No,
you don't need
to
flame.
I don't want it on.
You don't want it.
I was changing my kid's diaper and like there's, their hand whacked into it randomly.
Right.
Like,
I would imagine if anything, there could be there's a sakana like that. If you know if there's
for
gas, sakana,
yes,
for sure sakana for mechaba, then that would be allowed. Mechaba, anyways. I would imagine even on Shabbos that would be allowed because that's. Like we said before, mechaba, the way almost every case that we have mechaba nowadays is a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Meaning, the only way mechaba will be midiraisa is if you need the coals. Meaning, when you put out a fire and then you need the coals for later. We never need that. So that's always, not according to the Rambam, but according to how we paskin, that it's always, almost always considered midirabanan nowadays. Midirabanan, for cases of a sakana, that will be allowed, for sure. I would think even on Shabbos, that will be allowed.
Yeah, well, when my flame goes out, and it's just gas, if I turn it to off,
so then that's mavir. I don't think you have in mind for that to happen. I would imagine there'll be a dovish and a mischavin. Perhaps it's a psik resha, perhaps it's not. Even if it is a psik resha, I would think it's loy nichalei, and I would think especially for in the case of sakana, I would think that would still be allowed. Okay. Let's move on for a second.
If, for example, you took the pot off because you don't need to cook it anymore, but you didn't lower the flame, but leaving the flame at that intensity.
Well, how would that be a sakana? Kids are going to touch it? Kids are going to touch it. You know, is a different discussion. We discussed as far as muksa when there's kids around sakana. As far as doing a malacha, you know, it depends how much of a sakana it is, and perhaps you'd be allowed to do it with a shinui. I'd have to look into that more. To do a malacha b'shinui in a case where it's sakana, maybe a sakana with kids around, perhaps. I'm not sure. Right.
Really?
That would be the same. That would be the same malacha.
How about if it's getting like
if it's getting really hot? So then we're gonna see in a moment. In a case of mitoich, I mean, in a case of really hot, there's nothing to do with eichel nefesh. So. That's as far as ochel nefesh from mechaba. Like we keep on saying, every melacha we have to discuss the inyan of mitoch. Meaning, let's say you have a ochel nefesh act, But you want to do it for a purpose that's not ochel nefesh. So most poskim can come out, and this is the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to come out, that we do not say mitoch by mechabe. And therefore, if you need to turn down the fire because you're very hot, or because, for sure, to save money, but even if you're very hot or something, then just simply to turn it down, that would not be allowed. There are certain ways, because perhaps we do say by mechabe, there are certain ways you could boil a pot of water that you really need anyway, and then you let it over spill, and that'll make the fire go out. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's allowed. I don't think that's so practical. But to just simply go ahead and rely on mitoch for mechaba, then we say that is not allowed. Or in such a situation where you're very, very hot, perhaps you could ask a guy, the place can say, by electrical appliances, you can't turn it off, even if it's going to burn, because we say that there's soser, and there could be over there also, and you're... That's also mechaba when you turn off an electrical appliance. That would also not be allowed. By Havdalah, this year we have Havdalah. Yontif is Shabbos Sunday, so we're going to make an Havdalah Matzah Shabbos. When you hold the two candles together, so that's allowed. Of course, you don't make a new flame, but you hold the two candles together. Rabbi Yashiv says you're allowed to separate those two wicks together, even though you're making now a smaller flame. But Rabbi Yashiv explains that since when you put those two candles together in the first place, it was never a point, you never had in mind really to make a bigger flame. That's the minhag, to have two wicks together. So even though you combine those two wicks together, you're still allowed to separate those two wicks.
On Matzah Shabbos?
On Matzah Shabbos.
You use a fire?
So you already have a lit fire. You take, let's say, the licht that you lit from before, and from make Havdalah, when you make Kiddush, Yaknahaz, so Matzah Shabbos, you have to make Havdalah to be Malda ben Kodesh to Kodesh. Yeah, from Matzah Shabbos. You don't use psamim. You do not use psamim, but you use a fire.
I know. I also.
Let's hold off about washing dishes and bathing for a moment.
You can light off of your Shabbos candles that you made a bracha on.
Yeah, that's considered tzarcha yontif. The place can say Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman say that you're allowed to use for yontif to make for havdalah. Yeah.
I thought you had to take it from another source, like you couldn't because you already made a bracha on that.
No, but that's for tzarcha yontif. That's allowed. That's considered a legitimate tzarcha yontif. The place can say that is allowed. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yashiv, and Amnitzin Karelitz also is seated like that. He also feels like that you're allowed to use the yontif licht to use for even for the stove. You're allowed to use. That's for eichel nefesh. I would imagine they would say even for havdalah. I would think so. As far as salting, let's cover those that malacha first.
One thing just about the havdalah quickly. Just can you use those, like take two candles from what you lit and use that? For
yeah, you combine, yeah, you, yeah, you could use those two. Yeah, you could combine those two. As far as salting, we did not discuss the halachas of salting vegetables on Shabbos. Bez Hashem, hopefully, maybe after Pesach, we'll be able to discuss those halachas. So as far as salting vegetables, it's going to be hard to get into the details because we have not done that on Shabbos yet. There's a major machlokas, is it included? You're allowed to do it on Yontif or not? Are you allowed to do it totally mutter, or is it only done like Shabbos? Basically, Mishnah Berurah says l'chadchila you should try to do it only like on Shabbos, and that means to salt only one vegetable at a time, not heavily salting, to do only one vegetable at a time. Mitzvah Shem will get to those halachas afterwards. Just as far as making salt water for Pesach, so this year we have both. We have salt water for Friday night, and we have salt water for Matzah Shabbos, for the second Seder. So there's a great discussion how the salt water is supposed to be made. The salt water that's made on Shabbos, of course, needs to be made only with the halachos of Shabbos. So the best to do is to make your salt water before Shabbos, before Yom Tov. Not a big deal. It's going to taste the same. And we should not be eating so much salt water anyways, because we're not allowed to have more than a kazayis of karpas anyways, which is halachos of different halachos. But best is to make the salt water before Shabbos, before Yontif. If you did not, so then for this year, for Friday night, you have to make it the same as Shabbos. What does that mean? How are you permitted to make salt water for Shabbos? Very complicated. What basically comes out is that you're only allowed to make a little bit. Now, it's a big discussion, how little is little? But you're only allowed to make what basically you need for the dipping. The dipping of the karpas, based on your family, based on the guests, how many people you're going to have, you're only allowed to make the amount of salt water that you need. You can't make a large amount, because that's similar to tanning, one of the malachos of Shabbos. You're only allowed to make a little bit. And you're not allowed to use two-thirds salt and one-third water. It has to be less salt than that. That's not too hard to make. You have to have less than two-thirds salt of this mixture. You have a mixture of salt and water. It has to be less than two-thirds the amount of salt proportion to this mixture. That should not be such a big deal. It's hard to know how little is little. That's why the Paiskim tell us to do before Yontif. If you did not do before Yontif, you forgot, if for whatever reason you did not do before Shabbos, before Yontif, then you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, and you do it like the halachos of Shabbos, of less than two-thirds and only a little bit. On Yontif, so...
Water,
no, there's no order. No, now by tzeveya there's an order. We discussed the order, but as far as salting, I don't think there's an order. So two-thirds, one-third, it's not a big deal, I said. But as far as a little bit, that's a big deal, because the paiskim themselves are not sure how little is little. So therefore, it's best to do it before Yontif. But the two-thirds, one-third, that's definitely not a big deal. As far as on Yontif, hold on one second. As far as on Yontif, let's say Matzah Shabbos, unless you ran out of the salt water you used the first night, as far as on Yontif, then some Paiskim say it has to be done exactly like Shabbos. Some Paiskim say, that's what the Mishnah Berurah, seems to say, that Yontif is flat out mutter as long as it doesn't fall out on Shabbos. Again, the best will be to done before Yontif. On Yontif, if there's what to rely on, if you could do it like regular, but if it's hard to do it like very little, try to do it very little, and also try to do it less than two-thirds. There are some Paiskim that say when it's just Yontif, not Shabbos, you could do salting as much as you want. The best is not to do that, not to rely on that. Try to do only a little bit and try to do less than two-thirds. But when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, then for sure you should try to do only a little bit and less than two-thirds, and the best will be to do before Yontif. As far as measuring, we discussed the halachos of measuring. It's been already about 5-6 weeks ago. We discussed the halachos of measuring on Shabbos. We said that there are ways out to measure on Shabbos, such as for a mitzvah or for a chayla, or not to do exact. I'm sure you all remember that. On Yontif, there is one big leniency on Yontif over Shabbos, and that is the following. You're allowed to measure food on Yontif if you need two conditions. It has to be that if you use the wrong amount, it would ruin the food. It would spoil the taste of the food if you use the wrong amount. That's condition number one. And condition number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that it has to be that you, when you make this food during the week, you also always measure this particular item, this particular spice, you always measure that amount, that food, when you make during the week. So then when you do it on Yontif, you're also allowed to measure. So again, it has to be that if you would use the wrong amount, it would ruin the food, and that you measure that when you make such a dish during the week. If you make a cake or bread or something, so you measure the flour, I don't know if you have to measure the flour a little bit more, a little bit less, it could be it's not the end of the world. So then you're not allowed to measure that on Yontif. But other spices, I don't know, salt, pepper, or garlic powder, something like that, that you would measure, would ruin the food if you do not measure it. And you always measure like that during the week, so then that will be allowed to measure. You know, some of the Yiddish Ababas, they just a little bit of that, a little bit of that. So then on Yontif, they would not be allowed to measure, because if they don't measure during the rest of the week. Otherwise, everything is the same as on Shabbos, but that is one big leniency of measuring on Yontif over Shabbos. Hold on one second. I really apologize. I'll get to your questions afterwards. Before we get to washing dishes and bathing, let's just discuss muksa for a second. We discussed already muksa in three classes. We have, Bez Hashem, have one more class about muksa. But obviously there's some differences between in muksa, between Yontif and Shabbos. One obvious difference is, we discussed halachos of raw food. We said raw food is muksa on Shabbos, because you can't cook it on Shabbos. So if you have raw meat, and we discussed raw meat, raw fish and sushi, but raw rice and raw beans and flour and yeast and things like that, those are all muksa on Shabbos, because there's no use for it and you can't make it useful on Shabbos. We discussed those frozen garlic cubes and things like that. Anything that could be made usable is not muksa. If it can't be made usable, then it is muksa. On Yontif, all these raw foods are not muksa, because they could be made usable, even if you do not have intention of using it. But since they're food and they could be made usable, they are not muksa on Yontif. Also, candles and matches, like we said, candles and matches are not muksa on Yontif, because those are usable on Yontif. If you have wax on the bottom of your candles and you need to remove them to light for the second night Yontif, the Paiskim say, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yashiv, Rav Nissim Krelitz, they all say that you're allowed to scoop it out on the second night Yontif if it's remaining there from the first night Yontif. The Rama also says you're allowed to move a muksa item, meaning let's say not food, but let's say something stam that's muksa. You're allowed to move it to get to something that's ochel nefesh. Meaning if I have a food in the cabinet and there's a muksa item blocking in the way, I'm allowed to move that to get to something behind it for the purpose of ochel nefesh. Not stam, but for the purpose of ochel nefesh, if there's something that I want to eat that's behind a muksa item, the Ramah says I'm allowed to move that muksa item, because that's also, it's only muksa, and it's allowed for the purpose of ochel nefesh. Even if it's not this particular food, it's something else that's muksa, but for the purpose of ochel nefesh, that is allowed. If you can move it with tolta menatzad, or tolta begufa that we discussed at length, then that'll be better. That the Bir Halacha and Tafresh Lamed Ches says to do. But if it's not possible, then you're allowed to move it for the purpose of ochel nefesh. Washing dishes. So we discussed, it's been a couple months already, we discussed halachas of washing dishes on Shabbos. We discussed, of course, that you can't use hot water on Shabbos. As far as your guy using hot water, we discussed. But as far as you can't use hot water on Shabbos for the purpose of washing dishes. And we discussed, so therefore, we didn't discuss that at all, because that was obviously not allowed in Shabbos. We discussed at length the halachas of hachana, of preparing. Which dishes are allowed, which dishes are not allowed, what's good to, what's midas chasidus not to wash on Shabbos. As far as Yom Tif, so you're allowed to use hot water for the purpose of washing dishes. Bishul is ochel nefesh, and whether it's, we say mitoch by bishul, is a big discussion as far as washing dishes, how we apply the mitoch by machshirin, but the Peskim, what basically comes out, the Ramah says that you're allowed to heat up water for the purpose of washing dishes. So if you want to wash dishes on Yom Tif, you are allowed to turn on the hot water. However, do not get confused with the halachos of hachana. When we discussed the halachos of hachana, we said, we gave an example, let's say you have 12 dishes and you only need 4 of them. So we said you're allowed to wash all 12, because any one of those, any 4 of those 12 are usable for me, so I'm allowed to wash all 12, and I could use whichever 4 I want. That was as far as hachana. As far as doing bishul, turning on hot water for all 12, that you're not allowed to do. You're only allowed to turn on the hot water for the amount that you need. If you need only 4, so as far as hachana issues, yeah, you'd be allowed. So you could wash the 4 with hot water. The other 8, perhaps you could wash with cold water. I saw brought that once the hot water is already on, so then you're not turning it on again for that purpose, so then you could wash the other 8 if you keep the faucet on. Maybe yeah, maybe not. The best would be just for Yom Tif, if you're going to be using the hot water, to use just what you need for the purpose of. If you don't know, then you're allowed to use it, because you may need it, so then that's allowed. Any, like we had by Ochel Nefesh, anytime, you know, you're not sure how many pieces of chicken are going to be eaten, you're allowed to cook as many as you need, besides Ribu Bishurim we discussed, but what you may need, you are allowed to do. If you have dirty dishes in the sink from before Yom Tif, it is best to wash them before Yom Tif. You should not wait until Yom Tif to do it. You should not wait until Yom Tif to do it, even with cold water. You should not wait till Yom Tif to do it. You should preferably do it before, because that's extra tircha on Yom Tif. That goes for Shabbos as well. But as far as, for sure, hot water, if you want to use, if there's dishes in the sink, your kids eat before Yom Tif. And you know, don't worry, I'll wash it tonight. I'll wash it tomorrow. It's best to wash them before Yom Tif. You should not be using the hot water on Yom Tif when you could have done it before Yom Tif, which you mentioned many, many times. Something you could have done before Yom Tif should be done before Yom Tif. I'm very happy that we only have 5 minutes to discuss bathing, because I know it's a very controversial topic. That's why I saved it for last. I've been working on the sugya of showering and bathing on Yom Tif for a very, very long time. And I discussed with Rabbi Sachs, and he lent me a sefer this morning. I ran to his house at about 20 to 9 to borrow a sefer, and he said I should come out like that. What is it involved with bathing? I cannot come here with a final psak. For some reason, bathing has become so controversial as far as Yom Tif, the people do, the people don't. Let's discuss just in the 5 minutes that we have. Now it's 4 minutes already. the problems, what could come up with bathing. We discussed bishul. You're heating up water. Can I turn on the hot water for bathing? So ochel nefesh, I think we mentioned briefly that ochel nefesh could be included in that, is tzorchei haguf. Bodily needs could be included in ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh means eating, consuming, but quite possibly that bodily needs is included in ochel nefesh, or at least, according to some rishonim, it would be included in mitoich, if you're allowed to heat up the water. We said a halacha 2 weeks ago when we were discussing medicine. Mrs. Salmon wasn't here for the halachas of medicine, but she'll get the notes. But we're discussing the halachas of medicine, and we're discussing the halachas of smoking on Yom Tif, that it has to be shava l'chol nefesh. You could only do a malacha on Yom Tif if it's shava l'chol nefesh, if it's equal for everybody. The Shulchan Aruch says that bathing the entire body with hot water is not considered shava l'chol nefesh, is not considered equal, that everybody needs to do that every single day. That's a fact. That's what Shulchan Aruch says, that bathing the whole body in hot water is not considered shavah l'chol nefesh. The question, so therefore you're not allowed to turn on the hot water to bathe your whole body. The question is, has that changed nowadays? Nowadays, we take showers every day, we bathe every day. Has that changed? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks the question, has that changed nowadays? The place can come out that it does. The halacha does not change. Rabbi Yashiv, you want the list? Rabbi Yashiv, the Be'er Moshe, Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky, Rabbi Nissen Karelitz, Rabbi Belsky, the Tzitz Eliezer. Many places can say that the halacha does not change nowadays, and we do not say that it's considered shavu l'chol nefesh. And if they all make the same joke, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't bathe every day. Yeah, I told it to my students also, but it doesn't depend on that. That's the MS is that's not a ramification, because the place can say it depends on each country by itself. It depends on that sviva, that surrounding, that city, that country. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have their halachos. As far as America is concerned, the fact that in Eretz Yisrael they don't bathe every day is not going to make it more strict for us, because they don't bathe every day, but maybe in America we bathe every day. Afal Pika, in the place can say that even in America the halacha doesn't change, even though perhaps we do bathe every day, the halacha does not change, it's not considered shavah l'chol nefesh. However, the Ramah says that bathing different parts of the body, part of yada v'ragla, your feet, your hands, and your face, that is shavah l'chol nefesh. That is normal to wash every day, when we wake up in the morning or something, that is considered an equal need, and you are allowed to bathe the body. Bathe each different part of the body separately. Now the question is, can I do each part of the body to add up to the whole body? Can I do that inside a shower? I do just my feet. Can I do that inside a shower? It's great discussions. There's many discussions. And can I use water? A lot of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, water that was heated up before Yom Tov. So, but that's very not practical. You go to the urn that you plan on using for tea, and then you mix it with cold water, even if it's not a Bama Bishul, and you do like that. There's discussions, you turn on the hot water for the permitted parts of the body, the feet, the hands, and the face, and then once I'm there, so then I could do the whole body. There's major discussions. What basically comes out is the following, that with cold water, or water that was already on for permitted purposes, which again is not so practical, we'll get to children shortly, for cold water, that you're allowed to do different parts of the body, the feet, the hands, and the face. If you really, really need, then you are allowed to wash the entire body at once with cold water. Okay? So, again, we're talking about adults. We're not talking about children yet. For adults, you're allowed to use cold water. The place can say you could even do that inside a bathtub. Some say not. Some say, yeah, you could even do that inside a bathtub. Different parts of the body, one at a time. If you really, really need, the Bir Halacha says, the Chafetz Chaim says that you can wash the entire body with cold water. Now, what is considered cold water? Also a great discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big leniency, and Nissen Karelitz holds like this also, that warm water is included in cold water. As long as it's not as hot as you usually use during the week, or as long as you don't get pleasure from the hotness, that's the way Nissen Karelitz says it, then that's also included in cold. It doesn't have to be freezing cold water. As long as it's just patient, as long as it's warm, Ramesha Feinstein says that is also okay. As far as children, of course you can't use a bar of soap, and you can't squeeze out your hair and things like that. Can you shampoo or anything like that? Those are other halachas that of course you have to be careful of. By children, there's one leniency of bathing children over the adults. Some of the leniencies are not so negeya, as far as if it's heated up from before Yom Tov and things like that. But if a child is really very dirty and you want to wash just one part of their body, if you want to wash their whole body, it also has to be only if it was done from heated up from before Yom Tov, the water was ready on for permitted purpose, not so negeya. But if you want to wash one part of the child's body, let's say by the diaper area, they had a very dirty diaper, and you want to wash just that part of the body, so then we say just that part of the body, you are allowed to turn on the water, the hot water, even the hot water. You're allowed to turn on the hot water for a child for part of the body. The part of the body that got very dirty, let's say they fell in the mud or they had a dirty diaper, for that we have a leniency by children, because for them it's much more important in the raising of the children to have cleanliness. So that we have a leniency of children over their adults. As far as the final psak, you should speak to your Rav, whether it's Rabbi Sachs or Rabbi Zupnik, or who to go to, and what to actually go ahead and do it. Definitely the R. Paiskin that say, you could do it. My Rosh Kollel told me that Shmuel Kamenetsky in Philly said that, he told the Bachim they're allowed to shower on Yontif. That Paiskin that say you shouldn't. Someone sent me an email recently that Rabbi Belsky, who should have a Fur Shlema, He's very strict against doing the taking showers, even with cold water. He says you shouldn't do it. You know, this year is only 2-day yontif. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, the men who dance hakafas on a 3-day yontif, you know, so they're ready. You know, we could start to talk. You know, all of a sudden, people, they don't take showers every day. I'm a yontif, I need to take a shower. You know, so, you know, there's definitely what to rely on to not do it. There's definitely what to rely on to, yes, take a shower. And you should try, you know, to speak to your husband, speak to Rav. What's the final psak? Be'ezes Hashem, you know, when, like I said, we're not going to be meeting next week. As far as after yontif, like we said, we discuss, you know, if we should start the Tuesday after yontif or we should wait till a week and a half after yontif. We'll be in touch as far as that. Everyone should have a chakosh of a semeach.